Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, January 18th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 160, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Avi B., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., Reader of the Text, Kara L., Tammy M. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Monday, January 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,416. That's 18416. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,421. That's 18421. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Betsy H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Avi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning, Avi B., overeater trying to recover. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Avi B. And I'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Dawn. Hello, everyone. Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 160, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Kara L. to begin reading. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Outsiders became interested. One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. This couple had since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to the work. Many distracted wives had visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women who knew her problem, to hear from the lips of their husbands what had happened to them, to be advised how her own wayward mate might be hospitalized and approached when next he stumbled. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, you know, this paragraph that we've been reading over the last week or so, you know, about the history and how things came together, it was always miraculous to me just how everything fell into place. And then to see, you know, here we're moving, they're moving out into now, there's a man and his wife who are not afflicted with alcoholism, and they see the work that's being done here, and there's hope. This paragraph speaks to me of hope. It speaks to me of the importance for me to create a space that people can come to. You know, are the meetings I'm attending, am I being welcoming to the newcomers? Am I an open and approachable person, right? Do I provide comfort to the companionship among women who knew her problem, right? She's not the sufferer, but we see some beginnings of another program started at this time, you know, and just that hope, that love, that comfort reminds me that, you know, for me, the language of love is so important in this time. And how am I able to give that? Well, I have to work the steps. I have to ask my higher power for direction. I have to be willing to step outside of my own ideas of what I think needs to happen and be open to what my higher power is providing for me so that I can provide that atmosphere of comfort, right? That, you know, in this we're seeing that, like, there's just so much hope in this paragraph. And I want to be a vessel of hope. I want to be a vessel of love. So every day I will get up and I will do my work. I will find my conscious contact with my higher power, and I will do my utmost best to stay in my higher power's will throughout the day. With that, I pass and thank you, and I look forward to hearing from everybody else.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I will now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
The page number.
We're on page 160, the first paragraph starting with Outsiders Became Interested.
Kaya F.
Kaya F.
Right.
Very good. Who else would like to share today?
Naomi S.
Naomi S. Okay, let's start with those two. Kaya F., why don't you go ahead and get us started, followed by Naomi S. Good morning, Kaya.
Hi, good morning. This is Kaya S. from Chicago. I wasn't sure how I related to this paragraph at all, and I want to thank the previous speaker who really spoke about how this paragraph is talking about the promises of the program, that here now, that after I work the steps and I recover, then I'm able to open my life, to open my heart, to love others. Because before recovery, when I am so into the food and so into selfishness and self-centeredness and trying to run the world, then I can't be open to other people. And here, the analogy of showing how they opened up their large home and how this welcomed everyone to how the recognition that it's through working the steps that I could open up my heart so that I could welcome other people's and I could be loving and I could grow. This is such a poetic, beautiful way to start my day today. And I just want to thank you all for being there to make this possible. Pass.
Thank you so much, Kaya F. from Chicago. Naomi S., please share with us.
Good morning. Naomi S. in Central Oregon. This paragraph landed with me for a couple reasons. One was loving and understanding companionship. And then the other piece was, it's funny, the paragraph is actually talking about our wayward mates being hospitalized and approached when next stumbled. And I actually just had this conversation with a mentor yesterday about taking my disease serious. And so two things. One is I'm actually coming off of a time away and forgetting the consequences of that for me personally. And so thankful to come back on the call today and y'all are still here. But y'all are, I know that we all come here for ourselves, and but for the newcomer or the returner, that we can come and know and trust that the space is still held and there's still some place for us to come for help is just life-changing. And then the reality of the hospitalization, for me personally, my disease does end in hospitalization. And I've been there once before and I forget. And so those two pieces are what landed in this paragraph, just the deep, deep, unending gratitude for the group and this fall being here and all of you just showing up so that I can show up, and also reminding myself of the experience, strength, and hope to stay out of the hospital. And with that, I am complete. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Naomi S. from Oregon. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 160, the first paragraph, outsiders became interested. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Sherry
P.
Z.
Sherry Z.
Bruce E.
Kim T.
Bruce
Donna
E.
Chrissy F.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, I have Sherry. Kim L. Okay, I have Christy M.
Anita
Very good.
W.
Anita W. Okay, beautiful. I have Sherry Z, Bruce E, Donna B, Kim L, Christy M, and Anita W. Did I miss anyone in there?
Did you get Kim T?
Kim T. Okay. Very good. All right. Let's start with Sherry Z, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, I'm Sherry Z, recovering. I'm in step 9. Thank you so much for your service from Los Angeles. What really stuck out to me, and obviously because I'm in step 9, is many a distracted wife has visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women. Aside from the gender, it's that all these other people are affected that we're not even aware of, or I'm not aware of, that my eating caused harm to people that I didn't even know in the ways I didn't even know, and that working this program gives them relief. It gives them the ability to confirm their reality that they're not crazy, but they were interacting with the sick person. And they have a place to go. And I'm so in awe of this family that opened up their home because they were saying, look, we know that the sick person was a tornado, and we want to have a safe haven for you to confirm your reality. And I am in the middle of my ninth step. I'm so incredibly grateful to be recovering through the 12 steps of Big Book, of the Big Book. And so grateful for all the service you do. It's just, I was so selfish and self-centered and self-focused that I thought the harm I did only affected the person in front of me. But I didn't think about how that harm they internalized. And so this just gives me a pathway and a way of living how to right the wrong, like really rewrite all the reverberations of the damage I've done. And I'm just so incredibly grateful. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry B. from California. Bruce E., will you share with us now, followed by Donna B.? Good morning, Bruce.
Well, good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered in Southwest Florida. And, yeah, I notice here it says outsiders became interested. So people that weren't in the program, I assume that is, weren't in AA, they started hearing about it. They got interested in this. And so here we've got a man and his wife place their home at the disposal of this crowd. And then they went on to say that they dedicated their home to the work. So that, man, they gave a lot. They opened up their home to maybe meetings and listening to having people come in that had problems with their mates. And it says that this couple has since become so fascinated, that's a neat word here that he used here, isn't it? That maybe fascinated means they were so sold on this that they dedicated their home to this work. So have I done that? No, I haven't done that much, you know. I think I'm doing a lot, right, by helping somebody. I could do a whole lot more. So they're helping out some wives, and they get to come in here and listen to not only people that will hear their listen to their problems, but hear from the husbands what had happened to them. So they're hearing from the horse's mouth here, from some guys that are ended up talking about, oh, this is what happened to me. I really hit the dumps, and you know, and I got into AA, and this helped me out. We had to go to the hospital. The ladies are trying to find out how they might encourage their husband to get hospitalized the next time he stumbled. Okay, so they're coming up with some ideas here. So I am really grateful that I'm abstinent today. I'm grateful that somebody has taken the time to, and is taking the time to sponsor me and show me, you know, things and help me out here. I'm grateful for those that have helped me in the past. I'm grateful that I can help some other people now, that I can open up my life to people to try to help them. And I know, you know, this last guy that is helping out, I just shared my experience with him, and he just said, yeah, I can relate to that. You know, I've done that. You know, I've eaten, you know, stood in front of the cabinets and the refrigerator and just ate right out of there, didn't even bother to put it on a plate and sit down and eat it, just ate right out of the refrigerator, you know, stood right in front of it, door okay. open, eating right out of it, you know, so... I'm grateful to be here. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Donna B., will you share with us now, followed by Kim L.? Go ahead, Donna.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And the timing of this paragraph is synchronous. That's not the right word, but I hope you guys know what I mean. Over this weekend, I had a big argument with my husband and my son regarding the amount of time my son was spending on the screen. And it wasn't pretty. But yesterday, my husband and I had the opportunity to sit down without tempers flared and have a really good conversation. And my husband said to me that my behavior was not so different than my son's. He was distracted by the television and sort of stepping out of life and stepping out of relationships. And I was doing the same thing with my headphones on the entire weekend, listening to the OA LA birthday party. And it wasn't just this past weekend. You know, my husband talked about the ways that I've abandoned, stepped away from my family through my dedication to my recovery and fellowship. So I think that this paragraph reminds me that there are a lot of people in the fellowship, some who have the opportunity to dedicate their entire homes to be at entire disposal to the fellowship, and that there are others who have less to give, which sort of saddens me to say, but the truth is I do have a job and I do have a family and I do have young kids that, you know, part of why my son was in front of the TV was not only because he was doing it because he wanted to, but because as parents we were letting him do it. It was convenient for me. And I could carry on, you know, doing what it is that I wanted to do. And so with these few seconds that I have left in my prayer and meditation, I now understand how critical it is to constantly, constantly, constantly ask God where I need to be next. And the truth is, I logged into this call late this morning because I was making out with my husband. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Kim L., will you share with us now, followed by Christy M.? Good morning, Kim.
Hi, yes. This is it's Kim O. from Alabama. And I just wanted to take a minute, just a little insight and, I guess, claim my seat. This has a lot of meaning for me when it talks about the vulnerability of opening up a home, opening up and dedicating, it says dedicating home to the work. These people knew, they were so fascinated, they were so passionate about how this works, that they were able to open their home. They were able to be vulnerable. A lot of what I did before recovery was live in guilt and shame, and that is kind of a visual of being behind closed doors. It's also even more powerful because I struggle from coming from a family of hoarders, and so I have to work really hard to be organized and responsible and have a home that feels warm and safe and loving, and is not one that I usually have had companionship in the past. So to be able to be working this program in a way that it's a part of daily living, it's a part of opening up some of the most sacred spaces to say, this is really who I am, and this is really my story, and being able to welcome others and love others and provide that companionship and hope and vulnerability not only helps others, but it would help the person doing it, help myself by taking ownership and saying this is who I am, this is what doesn't work anymore, and not just opening up my home when I think it's perfect or not embarrassing, but as it is and as I am. That's all I've got. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim O. from Alabama. Now, Christy M., will you share with us, followed by Anita W.? Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic and anorexic compulsive overeater in Oregon. And as I read this paragraph about this couple, I think two things came to mind for me. And the first is the idea of practicing these principles in all our affairs. So I think I call into a meeting and I work my program with my sponsor, but I think part of getting the serenity and peace of the program is when I take these principles of the 12 steps and I practice them in all my affairs. So I practice them, you know, with my kids, with my extended family and at work, when I can learn how to bring my program to all my areas of life, is when I start to see like the real change, and I start to see change in reaction. And we talk about this program as a program of attraction, not promotion. So when we practice these principles in all our affairs, and we bring these ideas of service and acceptance and all of those pieces into our program, we show up differently, or we should show up differently. It feels different. We respond differently to things, and people are attracted to that. And we talk a lot about that 12th step and needing to do service. And sometimes in program, that idea of service can become very narrow in terms of like overeaters or somebody who has food issues. And that is definitely one way that we do service, is in terms of the program and this program. But what I really like about this couple is like they didn't need to be an Alcoholics Anonymous to do service. And they were practicing these principles in all of their affairs. And I think that's just a really good model and image of what the 12th step can look like, and what practicing our principles in all our affairs looks like. That, you know, I can share my experience, strength, and hope to somebody who's suffering from other things, you know, from food, from gambling, to different addictions. Like those are the 12 steps. So I can give service about 12 step programs. Can be more broader in how I look at service. I was talking to my partner, who's right now living in sober living, and he has a roommate that's been sleeping all day because he's out of work and just got out of jail, and he was really frustrated. And he talked to his sponsor, and his sponsor said, you know, this guy is really struggling. Maybe instead of being grouchy, you could offer to take him out with you, because he doesn't have a car, like when you go to the store, to get him out of the house. And like just taking that idea of service, of serving somebody, like just changed his whole way of looking. And instead of being frustrated, this person, I'll wrap up, was sleeping all the time. Instead, now he's like inviting him to go to the store with him, and inviting him to go hang out. And that just kind of changed the dynamic. So I think this is just a good reminder of the power of service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Now, Anita W., will you share with us, followed by Kim T., and then I'll be opening up the lines again. Just a reminder, we are on page 160, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested. We're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. So, Anita W., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Anita W. from Los Angeles, and I am a compulsive eater. I really did like this paragraph. It just reminds me how before I got into program, I just really didn't associate with anyone. You know, I just put food in front of everything. I put food in front of my kids. I put food in front of my friends. I put food in front of relatives because that's what I was the most comfortable with, and that would take the place of my having to associate with anyone or anything. And then after I binged and, you know, had my way with food, I would just, you know, pass out. And that's how I would spend my days. And that was okay with me. But the program, because I am in another program and it worked, I thought, gosh, I wonder if there's a program for food. And I looked it up on the internet and I thought, huh, well, I'll give that a shot. And it's been the most wonderful thing because I still had a, you know, behaviors out there that, you know, when you put food in front of everything, you can't really enjoy your life. And it was always on my mind. I knew that because so many people told me that my eating was abnormal. I knew that this was a problem I would have to deal with. But now I have learned through the program of OA that I really enjoy having, you know, program relationships with OA folks and women, and being able to reach out and get outreach calls And it's like throwing a, you know, OA is like throwing a rock into a pond. You know, it has this rippling effect that just affects all the parts of your life. And after I became abstinent, did what I was suggested, you know, sponsor the steps, I was able to enjoy my children more without putting food in front of my relationship with them, because they're only young for a while, you know, and I wanted to have a better relationship with them. So I was able to, and with my friends and with my family. And today, you know, sponsoring is like my favorite thing. It gets me out of myself totally, and I can share my experiences and help another human being, which I think is, I feel like that's what we're here for. You know, we're relational beings, and to help another person is just the best thing in the world. So thank you for your service in this meeting and having this meeting, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Anita W. from California. Now, Kim T., will you share with us, please?
Hi, this is Kim T., excuse me, compulsive reader from Denver. Thanks, everyone, for the service that you give on this meeting. And let's see, I was on the line for the birthday party this weekend, and talk about a huge house, if you will. And the people that put that together and the spirit that they brought to that birthday party, it's just phenomenal. It just floors me, and I'm humbled by it. I'm jealous of it a bit, because it was so, to me, perfectly orchestrated, and I know that's not just people, that's the hand of God. But, you know, everyone's been talking about spiritual things this morning, and for me, and I'm just coming back from a relapse. This is my fourth day, and I'm embarrassed, and my pride is killing me to say that, but I'm saying it. And the phrase that stuck out to me on page 160 was "strangely assorted crowd," and that just speaks to my character defect of wanting to look good at all costs. And for years, I just went to the beverage program, not because, you know, I've done my share of drinking and drugging, but I belong here. This is my first and biggest addiction. And I just wanted to look cool. And I was in Los Angeles at the time. And Overeaters Anonymous was very not cool then. And that still drives me today, is wanting to look whatever I perceive, quote unquote, cool is. And that is a character defect that it's just interesting how it came out in this paragraph, and how I will need to, you know, when I get there again, is work steps six and seven and release those, because those have never served me. They've never helped me serve others. Just so humbling. It's embarrassing and humbling, but I'm so blessed that I can share this on the meeting and be honest and show up, and I don't have to dress up or anything else, or I don't have to dress it up as far as how I feel. So thank you, everyone, and I will pass.
Thank you, Kim T. from Colorado. And I'm now going to open up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on page 160, the first paragraph, "Outsiders Became Interested." And I'll be taking three names. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Beth V, as in Victor.
Beth V. And I'll take two more names.
Carol. Joan R.
Joan R. And who is the other name?
Carol Q.
Carol Q. Very good. All right. So Beth V., please share with us, followed by Carol Q., and then Joan R. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Beth V., as in Victor, gratefully recovering in Pennsylvania. this paragraph spoke loudly to me today, how outsiders became interested. And vision, the vision program has given me a lot, and I relate to this in seeing that the dedication of these people who move the cause of AA forward by opening their homes and went the extra mile. And I feel like that's what the vision program has done for me. I had recovery many years ago in another program where I studied the big book. But the men and women who presented and set up the extraordinary vision program, they, to me, went the extra mile in that we study every paragraph slowly. So I got a deeper understanding in a very big way that I had not gotten before. And also, when my compulsion to eat became unmanageable for me and I could not manage it myself, I knew about the recovery that was available in AA. And when I found vision and applied it to my life, the miracles started to happen for me. And so, all these people to me are the ones who went the extra mile and set up the program and the study in much greater detail that finally got into my head and helped me to see the way. As well as, it's been 1 year for me in vision, and along with the help of my sponsor, who's taught me, spending hours with me going through the steps this year. And I have finally gotten abstinence. I have a nutritionalist, a food plan. I was fascinated at what I heard these people did on the line. And then I was finally dedicated by getting sponsees myself, which has also proven to be an amazing tool to stay abstinent. And so I am very grateful to have the promises coming true in my life and staying abstinent. So thank you to the program and to all the early vision people. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Beth V. from Pennsylvania. Carol Q., please share with us, followed by Joan R. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. It's Carol Q., an Ontario, Canada, recovered compulsive overeater. I thank you, everyone, for your service, and especially the shares this morning really touched me. Such wisdom and just honesty with sharing. And I'm looking at outsiders became interested, and then the paragraph before talked about by anyone and everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. And when I look at this, I think of the people that were living that spiritual way of life and how they attracted others into seeking that for themselves. And I'm just feeling very grateful this morning. Sharing for me is very difficult, but I'm going to do it because it's part of my recovery. I'm just grateful to be here. And thank you so much for your service, everyone.
Thank you, Carol Q. from Canada. Now, Joan R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, thank you. I'm just really privileged to be here on this meeting this morning. I'm recovering again, and just so touched by all the shares. I write down the gems that I hear, which is every person, and I'm very grateful in my heart. The one thing that it said in here that outsiders became interested in, and someone shared about sharing your sacred space, and that really speaks to me. I've been in programs a long time, and it is so much all those things, like, yes, sponsoring is like the best thing ever, and, you know, the best gift, and getting to, you know, work the program by helping others is such an antidote to, you know, insanity in any form. And so I'm extremely grateful to be here. I owe a lot to, first of all, God, and to my sponsor, and to getting me healthier to be able to really make deeper amends to my family, which is needed right now after my husband passing. So I want to encourage all the vision people, and I pray for you. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joan R. from Oregon. And I do have time for another share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us? Take one name.
Donna P.
Donna P. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. This is my commitment for this year to do this. I am so grateful to listen to everyone and being able to open our hearts, open our life, and be of love and service to others, and love and tolerance. And I had a big day of doing that very thing yesterday, and filled with gratitude this morning, was able to reflect and see the major change for me and my attitude. So thank you, everyone that participates, and I will work on that. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna P. And thank you to everyone who shared. You made this meeting really, really special. And we're now going to be closing the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tammy M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay. Yes, I'm Tammy M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is sick, still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you and